Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bowe, and Pastor Adam Mosier wrap up their discussion on the formula of concord, looking at Article 12 and a New Testament passage and its application. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation, start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Mosier.
Yeah, welcome back, guys. I feel like we should have like a cake or something to celebrate the end here. Or
especially because we're going the distance.
Wow. I was not expecting that.
Me either.
Me either. I was not going to miss on that one.
Jason? What is it? What this is it. This has been.
This is it.
You guys have. This is your episode.
Yeah.
This is your episode.
Well,
I just came in halfway through. I'm a pretender.
Like a hireling.
Did my duty. Now I shut my mouth. Ready, go.
Yeah, we've made it. Yeah. Well, I suppose.
Oh, we still have 22 minutes left.
Right.
Let's not count our chickens. Being Lutheran podcast, there is still room for failure.
Yes, that's right. Well, we are going to do a couple of episodes after this.
A retrospective,
yeah. So I suppose those are technically the last episodes on the Book of Concord.
Well, and this is number 434, and we can't forget about like the 25 other unnumbered episodes we have and, you know, all that. But 10 years of marching through the Book of Concord, article by article, the same pattern, two lessons, and an Old Testament and a New Testament, and we have arrived at the last one.
That's right.
So, Brett, logically, what is our passage today?
It is Revelation 22. We're going right to the very end.
We are.
Yeah.
Yes. They're looking at me as though I somehow have something to say.
All this time, we've still been waiting for you to supply useful content.
Hey, I don't agree with John Calvin on everything, but I do on the book of Revelation. I don't comment on it because I don't understand it. So this is all you guys today, if you really want to go to the end. Jesus is coming again.
We've already done our Revelation 20 episode.
And Revelation 19.
Yeah.
Have we done Revelation 1, 2? I want to say we've done Revelation 1.
I don't think so.
Oh, that was a whiff on our part.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe on what we're doing. Well.
Yeah. Well, okay. So
sorry.
At the 20-minute mark of the episode, we will announce there's something else coming. We're not killing the podcast.
Yeah.
Much to the chagrin of some of our listeners.
All right.
What is a chagrin?
Get rid of Jason that
why do you have it? I have lots of chagrins, I think. How do you acquire a chagrin?
You're talking about chins, I think.
No, I only have two of those.
Yeah. I was going to say more. We have plenty.
All right. So
we have plenty.
Revelation 22. Let's read verse 12 to the end of the very Bible, to verse 21. It says, "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come,' and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things say, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen."
Amen.
Amen.
Maranatha.
I was going to say anything, but
so beautiful.
I can't not. I think it's such an interesting thing in this passage. You know, it's fitting because this is the last episode, but it also hits on so many of the themes of the article from the formula that we're closing with here. Yep. You know, just the Christology, who is Christ, the nature of the sacraments, which is, you know, thirsty come, all these different things. It doesn't expressly state that. But then the, you know, don't take away from the book, you know, kind of thing. You know, don't add to it, don't take away. All of those themes that we've touched on in the last several weeks are really prominent in this final closing chapter of the revelation of God to us in His Word.
Well, one of our themes in one of the impetuses, what's the plural of impetus? The motivations?
Oh. Impeti.
Impeti.
Sounds like Latin. We wanted to demonstrate how the theology presented in the Lutheran confessions was consistent with Scripture. So it should not surprise us that as Scripture summarizes itself with the last words of the Bible, that it fits in pretty nicely with the last words of the Book of Concord. And we were talking off-air before the last episode how it starts with the Trinity and it ends with the Trinity. You've got three very distinct Trinitarian statements in the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed, and we close the Book of Concord ending by rejecting the Trinitarian heresies. And that's more or less what Scripture does, mm-hmm. is it upholds the truth of the identity of the Godhead, the identity of Christ, and how Christ operates in the Christian life. And you're right, Adam. It alludes to mm-hmm. the sacraments. Mm-hmm. And especially the washing your
one who
robes.
Hears, one who thirsty, one.
And blessed are those who wash their robes. Washing, that's baptism language.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah. I was really drinking in those as I was reading.
Pun intended, with the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was free, so he's drinking
yeah.
it.
Yeah. No, but yeah, just I just love those verses and just harkens back to like Isaiah, you know, he who's thirsty, mm-hmm. you know, those invitations.
Come by.
Yeah.
Isaiah 55.
Right, without price.
Yeah, right. Without,
which is also a
price.
Word-centric
yeah.
passage,
right.
you know, that it's the word coming down from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Jesus is the Word, and He's the yep. living water, and He's the bread of life. And mm-hmm. this web of connections in Scripture, that as the web, it draws it all together, you just see an image of Christ. That's kind of how it works and how Scripture works. And, you know, Jesus saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, that's not a metaphor. That He is the beginning and end of all things for the Christian life and for the Word of God and for everything. If you get Christ wrong, you get eternity wrong. You lose your salvation. And that's exactly what the Lutherans were fighting for this entire time. Mm-hmm. That Luther's assertion from 1517 forward, and I know I am one of the foremost people I know that rail on October 31st, 1517 is the start of the Reformation, but he's basically asserting you get Jesus wrong with the best of the 95 Theses. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, He willed that the entire life of a believer be one of repentance. And why? Because the forgiveness of sins. And I think the other best of the 95 Theses is like, look, hey, Pope, if you have the power to forgive the sins, why aren't you forgiving the sins freely?
Yeah.
You know, and it's those sorts of things. Everything builds around Jesus and who He is and what He's done. And it's such a great test for the everyday Christian life. Mm-hmm. And I've recently gone through that at the end of the year, and things get stressful at the end of the school year. You're working hard. You're trying to, you know, get papers graded. You're trying to, you know, you're running out of energy. And this last semester, I was also finishing my time as a pastor of my church, and walking away from that. And I just had to stop. I'm like, wait, is my faith about me or is my faith about Jesus? And it was an incredibly convicting moment, and then it was incredibly freeing, because you realize that the gospel is there because we need it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Adam and I, you and I have both talked about how prone we are to disqualify ourselves from the gospel, and that's the whole point of the gospel, is that you would otherwise be disqualified. And, you know, this is the arc of Scripture is mirrored by the arc of the Book of Concord. The Book of Concord always is underneath Scripture. It never takes the place of, never stands alongside of Scripture, but it follows the course of Scripture intentionally for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
I think it's interesting to note verses 14 and 15, where it talks about washing of the robes so that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the you know, the sorcerers, sexually immoral, etc.
People who eat pineapple on pizza. Oh, no, that's, that's one of the variants.
Sorry. Those are the ones whose robes have been washed, Jason. Oh. Thank you very much. No, you're confusing this again.
Okay. Yeah.
The book The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis, if you guys you've read it, you know, and I might be misapplying it here, but as I remember, it's been a long time since I've really read it and focused on it, but the point is, I remember that book that Lewis was making was, we are currently all right now in heaven or hell. It's not a death and life, you know, like there's this starts when we die. This is an already right now, and I think that that is the who have washed their robes, who are thirsty, who are hung, you know, who are come. This invitation is what we have in the word and sacrament is exactly what God needs to, like what you were saying, nourish us unto salvation. It's this continual reminder, and that right now we are in the city of God. Right now, we are with him, not in the fullest sense, like we will be when he returns again, and there's this physical heavens and earth that happen. The wedding feast of the Lamb, this is a rehearsal dinner. We are constantly rehearsing the wedding feast that we will be sitting at here when we sit down at the table of the banquet of the Lamb.
And I spend four semesters in our main Bible college program harping on that. One of the things I tell my students is that most Christians, including Lutherans, get salvation only half right. That every Christian, we get the not guilty part. But then we end up speaking of salvation as if it's a second chance to get things right, or a third chance, or a fourth chance. And then the not guilty part is very important because it's a part of the gospel. What we don't often preach well, which means we don't often believe well, is that right now we are completely righteous. Right now, God looks at us and approves of us. And I think most of us live our life as if, well, someday God will be happy with me. You know, someday I'll get it right. But it's, you have a foot in heaven right now, that you are among the saints. And that's the value from a Lutheran perspective of Holy Communion, is that when you kneel at the altar, you are dining with the saints in eternity, and you are, in fact, a saint in eternity. And that is a beautiful picture of what you have, is that God looks at you right now and he sees Jesus. God looks at you right now and he sees someone he approves of. Mm-hmm. And the theology being rejected by the Lutherans is for the sake of that reality, is that when you get this wrong, you are obfuscating the gospel. You are adding to scripture. Even if you think it's a logical conclusion, like the age of accountability, you just like, no, where is that in the Bible? And what do we do with ages 1 through 9 or whatever? And suddenly you are not worried about the cross and the empty tomb. You're worried about something that concerns me. And Jesus paid it all. It is finished. Tetelestai, paid in full. And it's this notion that false theology and bad theology, in imprecise theology, they obscure the gospel to the point that people become in danger of losing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. Yeah, I think that's a fantastic place for us to start to land this plane of
this 434 episode.
Yeah,
plane.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm just really blown away and at the gospel, and I guess I don't want to get into retrospect a little bit, but I appreciate that about these times, to hear the gospel. I think that's maybe the biggest reason I would say I am a Lutheran today, is the gospel for me. And you know, that guy in the, you know, Pittsburgh church, the for me,
in Wadena, but yeah.
Oh, Wadena, yeah, that's right. But like, we're just getting that in spades here.
Brett.
Yes,
I was waiting for that voice.
Yeah. Had to do it. Sorry.
That's right.
In honor of Horst.
Yeah.
Was his name, Horst.
Horst, yes. That's right.
one of my favorites to look up at the resurrection. When we get to see Horst again, I'll introduce you guys. He's awesome.
Love it.
Well, should we talk about what's coming?
Yeah, let's do it.
Peek around the corner a little bit. So next time we record, we're going to do two episodes of a retrospective. We're just going to look back on what we've done, where we've been. It's going to be two episodes of saying thank you to a lot of people, just kind of, you know, Brett, you and I are a decade older than when we started this project.
Yeah, right.
So we got, and you know, if you're a listener and you're not into that sort of thing, you probably skip the next two episodes. We won't be offended, but it is something we feel necessary to do. There's so many people we have to say thank you to, so many kind people that have come into our lives because of this podcast. We want to give them their due. And then we toyed around with the idea of shutting down the podcast, that we had it run its course.
It's a good ending spot if that were the case.
You know, we want to end on top, but something happened in the last 3 months that kind of, at least in my mind, solidified that we're not quite done with what we need to do. And
the Lord gave you a vision?
Yeah.
told Jason to tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right.
He gave me a vision of statistics, and what we found out is we had been consistently averaging about 15,000 listeners per month. Probably for the last, 2, 3, 4 years. It's been pretty stable, which is, I mean, in the highly competitive, independent, non-advertised podcast market, we're doing pretty good. You know,
and people joke of saying, you know, everybody has a podcast.
Yeah.
But I think we maybe started a little before some of that.
We got in front of the wave. We're gonna be there past the wave because the podcast wave is dying down into other media and stuff like that now. But last 3 months, we've been up around 20,000 listeners a month. And I don't know why, but there is increased demand. There's increased listenership, which means there's more of a mission to accomplish as more people listen. So for those of you that are, you know, listening or re-listening or whatever, we met someone that's listened to the podcast 3 times through. I haven't even done that.
Special place in heaven.
Yeah. But we're going to keep working through specifically Lutheran documents. And so the plan right now is that we'll spend a couple months doing the same sort of episode format, going through Luther's Bondage of the Will. Mm-hmm. Probably a 4 or 5 month arc on that.
Yeah.
We'll follow that up with The Freedom of a Christian or Luther's Treatise on Christian Freedom, depending which translation you're using. And then highly likely after that to do Chemnitz. And we're going to work through his Enchiridion, which is his version of the Small Catechism.
Right before The Hobbit, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Silmarillion, Enchiridion, The Hobbit, and then Paralandra.
Yeah. Throw that in there.
When you said that, Enchiridion, I thought of Silmarillion right away. Yeah. I thought Silmarillion. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
And then I was disappointed, only to find out it was Chemnitz who drove me a little bit crazy in seminary. So thank you, Jason.
Well, we're not doing Two Natures of Christ. As important as that is, it probably doesn't lend itself to podcasting too well.
Riveting.
Yeah, but there is plenty of Lutheran content for us to get through, and there's still people who are listening and thanking us and things like that. We're working on some other announcements in the hopefully not too distant future. Hint, hint. And this is an opportunity as we wind down, maybe a shorter episode, to those who have supported and donated, thank you.
Yes.
You are able to continue to donate to the work of Being Lutheran. There's still work to be done. You give to the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary, flbc.edu, in the memo line on the online giving form, put Being Lutheran, and it gets to us. And costs us $100 a month right now to make the podcast, and then there are other expenses that we're looking into. Would love to have merch someday. We've been talking about that now for ever. We got to make it happen.
We had stickers once.
We'll I don't want to, you know, give away too many hints.
Yeah.
But we're looking forward to this. So thank you again. We are 434 episodes into it, and we got plenty more coming. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Please join us next week as Pastor Jason, Pastor Brett, and Pastor Adam continue their discussion on important Lutheran documents and what it means to be a Lutheran. If you'd like more information on the Bible School or the seminary, please visit our website at flbc.edu. God bless you and have a great week.